Welcome to Ancient Words, the Bible study podcast from Red River Ministries. We invite you to get your Bible and a notebook and join us in the study of the Word of God. If you are not able to follow along in your Bible for some reason, that is okay too. We go verse by verse through the scripture we are studying. It is our hope that this Bible study will encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Now, on to today's study.
Hello everyone and welcome back. Today we are going to begin looking at the portion of John's Gospel that is commonly known as the Upper Room Discourse. If you are able to, get your Bible and turn to John chapter 13. We will begin in verse 31. These are the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he is betrayed and arrested. This is the last time he teaches them before he faces the cross. He wants to be absolutely certain that he has their undivided attention, and he does that in a way that most people would consider disgusting. While they were seated at supper, Jesus stands up and takes a basin of water and a towel and begins to wash the disciples' feet. Here is the man they have looked up to as a teacher and rabbi for the past 3 years. Someone whom they should be serving and caring for, and he is serving them. Of course, Peter would not have any of it, and refused to let Jesus wash his feet. But Jesus told him that if he did not wash Peter's feet, then Peter was not part of him, or did not get to share in his plans. And Peter said, in essence, okay then, wash all of me, not just my feet. In other words, Peter wanted to be all in whatever Jesus was planning to do next. And after washing the disciples' feet, Jesus reveals the one who will betray him. Although the disciples were still a little thick-headed, and even after Jesus basically told them who it was who would betray him, some still did not get it. And we are going to pick up reading just when Judas leaves the rest of the company. John chapter 13, verse 31. We're going to read through verse 35 today. It says, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let us pray. Father God, we are thankful for another opportunity to study your word together. We are thankful for the ability to come together and open your word and look at what Jesus has to say to his disciples. Teach us by the word and by the Holy Spirit. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When Jesus talks here about glorification, he is not talking about the glorification he has already received through all the things that he has done or taught. Instead, he is telling the remaining 11 disciples that he will be glorified in his death. Not only will Jesus be glorified in his death, but the Father will also be glorified in his death. When Jesus goes to the cross and dies for the salvation of believers, it is the culmination of his ministry. It is the very thing that he came to this earth to accomplish. It is also the end of his work here on the earth in the grandest way that he points believers to the Father. What does it mean that the Son of Man is glorified and that God is also glorified in him? What do verses 31 and 32 really talk about when they say that God is glorified? Well, in order to answer that, we need to know what the word glorify in its past tense, glorified, mean. Glorify is from the Greek word doxazo, which means to render or esteem glorious, full of, or have glory or honor, and magnify. Jesus and the Father are both magnified. They are esteemed full of glory or honor when in the hours when Jesus is on the cross. It is the time on the cross that brings Jesus the most glory, because it is during that time that he fulfills his earthly ministry. Jesus came to earth with the sole purpose of becoming the final sacrifice for sin, which is what happened on the cross. He became that final sacrifice. God the Father is glorified on the cross because he is the one who sent Jesus to fulfill the plan. The Father is the chief architect of the plan of our salvation. Jesus, the Son, is the final sacrifice that makes salvation possible. And the Holy Spirit is the one who draws those who will be saved to the Father through the Son. All of this is made possible because of the glorification of the Father and the Son on the cross. Verse 33 says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." Jesus once again tells his disciples that he will only be with them a short time. In fact, this is the last time most of them will see him before his resurrection. However, what Jesus tells the disciples here could be deeply troubling if we were to stop reading at verse 33. When we read on later in verse 36, which we will cover in our next study together, Jesus tells his disciples that they cannot go with him right now, but can later on. And we will cover this more extensively when we get to that verse. What Jesus is saying here in a nutshell is that he is going to a place where they are not able to follow him yet. Now, some people speculate exactly what he means here, whether he is talking about returning to the Father, going to his death, or something else. If you read further into this discourse, however, you will not need to speculate at all. Remember, the number one rule of biblical interpretation is to always look at the context of the scripture. In the beginning of chapter 14, Jesus talks about going to prepare a place and the makeup of the Father's house. It is rather obvious from the context what Jesus is talking about here is going to the Father when he says, "Where I am going, you cannot come." After Jesus tells the disciples that they are not going to be allowed to go with him just yet, he shifts the focus to something that is relevant to all of us today. And let's look at what he says in verse 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus gives his disciples a new commandment, to love one another as he loved them. This is so important for us to understand today because of the implications of the love we show toward one another. Jesus says that all people will know we are his disciples because of our love for one another. Notice he does not say that people will know we are his disciples because of our love for all mankind, or animals, or the earth, or anything else. He says that people will know that we are his disciples if we have love for one another. Now, who is that one another? In the immediate context, Jesus is talking to the 11 men who were with him in that room. In the broader context, he is talking to all disciples who call upon the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. So who are the disciples of Jesus Christ? Well, we hear the word disciple thrown around somewhat flippantly these days, but few people who use the word really know what it means. In ancient times, when a teacher would want to spread his teachings, he would call some men to himself that he would teach for a period of time, and then send them out to spread that teaching. These men were called disciples because they had learned all of the disciplines of the teacher. They learned how he spoke, how he moved, how he taught, and so forth. And they would do their best to do exactly as their teacher has showed them, often using the same inflections in their voice and the mannerisms. When Jesus called the 12, he spoke two simple words to each of them, "Follow me." Some, such as the fishermen, he spoke more to, but all of them were given that one simple command, "Follow me." Jesus called his disciples in the same way that many other teachers would have done in that day. The difference was he was not an ordinary teacher. In 2002, a pastor named Stan Smith, who was at the time the pastor of First Baptist Church in Henderson, Tennessee, wrote an article outlining the four markers of a true disciple of Christ. Now, I want to take just a moment and read the four headings for you because I think they capture exactly what it means to be a disciple in today's world. First, a disciple has a love for the Word of God. Second, a disciple has a lasting commitment to Christ. Third, a disciple has a longing to know Christ. And fourth, a disciple is a leader of others to Christ. In other words, a true disciple is rooted in the Bible and has a life that is Christ-centered to the point that they fulfill the Great Commission and bring others to the point of being a disciple as well. That is what it means to be a disciple. But what does it mean to love one another as Jesus loved us? Well, I mean, we must really ask ourselves the more serious question, how do we love? Jesus showed us how we should love. After all, he gave his own life for us so that we might be saved. And it is true that the greatest love that a man can show is to lay down his life for his friends. However, I do not think Jesus wanted us to go around sacrificing our own lives every time someone we know is in danger. That would be a one-time showing of love and would not be the example that the world would see over and over. After all, it would not take very long, and there would not be many disciples left in the world. Instead, let us look further in Scripture and see what the Bible says about love. Turn with me briefly to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, to the chapter that speaks the most about loving one another. We'll start reading in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." If we take Paul's words here in 1 Corinthians 13 and apply them to our lives today, we will learn exactly how we are to love one another. So what does it mean to love one another according to this text? Remembering that one another deals with other disciples of Jesus Christ, as we defined earlier, let us look at these verses and answer this question. Love one another means that we are to be patient with one another. And being patient means that we are to endure all of the weakness, ignorance, errors, and infirmities of one another. Love one another means that we are to be kind to one another. Being kind to one another means that we are gentle, courteous, and that we do good to one another. Love one another means that we are not envious of one another. Not being envious of one another means that we rejoice when something good happens for a brother or sister, and we do not wish the same thing that would happen for us. Instead, we are genuinely joyful that they have been blessed by the Lord. Love one another means that we do not boast to one another. Not boasting to one another means that we do not put our own blessings from the Lord out in front of others to be seen by them for the sake of being seen. We do not make a show of the things that we are able to do, either in ourselves or because of the gifting that God has placed in us. Love one another means that we are not arrogant toward one another. Not being arrogant toward one another means that we are genuinely humble, not only because of who we are, but also because of who Christ is and who we would be without Him. We are never prideful, but always humble that he would save someone like us. Love one another means that we are not rude to one another. Not being rude to one another means that we watch what we say to one another, letting no corrupt communication come from our lips. We do not use any gestures that might grieve one another, and we control our body language so that we do not corrupt the good speech and gestures we use by unbecoming body movements. We do everything we can not to offend one another by our communication. Love one another means that we do not insist on getting our own way with one another. Not insisting on getting our own way with one another means that we listen to input in a situation and reach a compromise that will be mutually beneficial for all involved. There is no my way or the highway when we love one another. Love one another means that we are not irritable with one another. Not being irritable with one another can get a lot of people in trouble, including me. But we cannot become angry when people do us wrong. Remember that we are dealing with sinners just like us, and give them the same kind of grace that we would want shown to us if we did them wrong. Then we will show that we are not irritable with one another. Love one another means that we are not resentful toward one another. Not being resentful toward one another means that we are quick to truly forgive when someone does wrong to us. It goes hand in hand with not being irritable with one another. Love one another means that we do not rejoice in wrongdoing done to one another. Not rejoicing in wrongdoing done to one another means that we grieve when those who grieve. We also seek justice for those to whom wrong has been done. Love one another means that we rejoice with the truth with one another. Rejoicing with the truth with one another goes along with not rejoicing in wrongdoing done to one another, in that when the truth of the matter comes to light, we are joyful with one another that justice is done. Love one another means that we bear all things with one another. Bearing all things with one another means that we come alongside one another and share in the burdens that each one is facing. Love one another means that we believe all things with one another. Believing all things with one another means that we share a common belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and His work, and that we are saved by grace through faith in Him. Love one another means that we hope all things with one another. Hoping all things with one another means that we look forward to one day sharing in that time when we will stand before our Savior and hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and we will enter into His kingdom. Love one another means that we endure all things with one another. Enduring all things with one another means that we stand firm against everything that the wicked one throws against us, never alone, but always having one another's back. If we take all of these things together and apply them to our lives, then it is easy to see how the last phrase, "Love never ends," can easily be true. However, if we fail in any of these ways of showing love to one another, then it becomes possible for the evil one in this world to have a foothold in our lives and within the church. I want to ask you today, please, let the world know that you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ by finding other true disciples and showing them what it means to love one another. Jesus said if we do this, that all people will know we are his disciples. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to study your word. Help us to love one another the way you would have us to love. Guide us along every step of our lives that we will know where you would have us to go. We thank you and praise you and ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Ancient Words, a Bible study podcast from Red River Ministries. We would like to invite you to go to our website, www.redriverministries.org, for more information about the ministry. You can find links to our books, blog, store, and many other resources on our website, as well as a link to donate to the ministry. Also, if this podcast is a blessing to you, please leave us a review on whatever app you use to listen to us. This will help others be able to find us in those apps and be a blessing to them as well. Thank you all, and may God bless you.